You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, and so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight it's the three-way, as we always have on a Tuesday. And we have David Shapiro, the Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Melrose Arch, Johannesburg, the centre of the cultural world. And we also have Skalk Lowe, who's somewhere sort of more historical and but also cultural. Skalk Lowe is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth, somewhere in the Western Cape, Stellenbosch or somewhere like that, I think. Where are you, Skalk?
I'm the boy kid from Belleville. Don't you remember?
Right. Yes, yeah, so Belleville's got it's got a velodrome, so that's fine. But David, we were speaking just off air, and you both sounded a bit old, saying, "Can you believe it? We're 3 weeks into the new year, and isn't time going quickly and everything?" But David, you also said that so much has gone on in the first 3 weeks, and it really has. It's extraordinary. But the market's taking everything that are thrown at them.
Well, it's really been a sprint in the first week, and unexpectedly, and it's caught everybody by surprise, Lindsay, because I don't think anybody thought that after the year that we had in 2019, this would continue, and it still continues upwards now. You know, I know that that overnight, Asian markets came under a little bit of pressure on worries about this virus. You know, we had it's a reminder of the virus we had 12, 13 years ago, SARS virus, and markets were down. But I think the US, just looking at it now, just wants to brush it aside and wants to go better. So we've got very, very positive markets for whatever reason. And if you listen to Mr. Trump, you'd think that at Davos, he was making a political speech just telling everybody how wonderful he is. Just looks like, you know, it looks like the U.S. economy is absolutely belting. So, but there are a lot of other things as well. I mean, it's been a very exciting start to the year. And even here, we've had some good days, but not today. No, leave that to Skalk to explain.
Just before you get into the local market, which we will do, and it has been not a torrid day, but it's certainly been a dampener of a day. But when you look at Mr. Trump's speech, and I watched it with a good deal of fascination, firstly because he is always so rude and he's always late, he kept people waiting, which I find unacceptable. It doesn't matter how important you are and what kind of psychological games you're playing, do not be late. It's the height of rudeness. But it was all about him, and you could see he was battling with the teleprompter. He couldn't say certain words. But it was either going too fast for him or too slow for him.
Well.
No, he can't do anything that well. I was reading a story, actually, and I don't want to indulge in Trump bashing, but I was looking at stories about the lifts in his shoes and the Cuban heels that he wears, and that's why he leans forward, because he's got these incredible lifts to make himself look like 6'3", because he's got a height complex. But Skalk, when you saw Mr. Trump today, you've got to admire him in many ways, because a lot of the things that he said were true, although they came from the momentum of previous administrators, let's put it that way.
There's a good old saying that says, and I think this will be fantastic for explaining Trump, but the proof of the pudding is in the eating.
Yes.
And I must say, if you look at the facts and the figures over the last 2 to 3 years, it's been phenomenal. But just to get back to his heels, have any of your gentlemen seen his son?
The youngster.
Baron.
The youngster.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The little boy. I think he's
about 9 foot.
Yes. It is crazy. So I think he's just wearing these heels just to sort of not look
well,
like...
Well, that comes from his mom, you know. I mean, she's one of these East European ladies with legs that stretch. The size of like netball poles, you know, they're huge, and then I think that's where he's getting his heart from.
It's a shame. Yeah, no, it's just to get back to Trump. I mean, just to get back to what you said earlier, there was a few things that happened over the past 24 hours. You know, yes, we've touched on this virus, and I think that to a certain extent is a little bit worrying, because everybody remember the SARS virus in 2003, and I literally had quarantine cities. So, but also, you know, we've also seen Hong Kong been downgraded. So clearly, you know, we're not the only, you know, point on Mother Earth that's been downgraded. So Hong Kong has been downgraded, and that had a bad effect on let's call it the outlook on China. But also the IMF's forecast that I saw yesterday. Little things. I read that report during the day, and little things that stood out. Little things like, for instance, in the forecast for this year, they see a slower growing both U.S. and China. Now, I mean, we can, just add those three things up, and you see let's call it a commodity price environment today that's definitely reacting. They always say that to find out who's swimming without a costume, just wait for the tide to pull back. And man, there's a few guys finding themselves without costumes today. Oh, man, it's unbelievable what platinum shares. I mean, big movers. But anyway, we'll get to that later.
Yeah, we will get to that, because I noticed the volatility this morning, and it's almost as though when you see an article about palladium on the BBC's front page, bbc.com, and people start talking about palladium in the mainstream media, they've never heard of palladium before. As a previous commentator over the last couple of days said, when you see these headlines, you realise that perhaps something is going on. And it was extraordinary to hear that the backwardation in the palladium market, in other words, the spot price relative to the futures prices, the spot price is something like $200 higher than future prices. And that is an unusual situation. And it means that there is such a shortage that people are buying the spot at whatever price, and futures prices don't matter despite interest rates and carrying costs.
Yeah, that could be sure. Probably if you were a palladium producer, you'd probably be selling on the futures market, selling forward, which could explain why you're seeing prices coming down. It would be the natural situation. Something's going to happen. And the kiss of death came today when Goldman Sachs said it could reach 3,000 before finding a peak.
Oh, yeah.
So once Goldman Sachs start putting prices on commodities, as we've seen in the past with oil or something,
yes,
then it's the end. You know that they're going to get it wrong. So
it's great. You're hitting the nail on his head here. We've last seen this pretty much when oil was trading what, $120, and OPEC was coming out and said, oh boy, this is going to $200.
Yeah.
Oh, you just wait. I mean, let's just put this in perspective. I mean, to all the listeners out there, palladium over the past 12 months is up close to 80% in dollar terms. With today's let's say 4.25% drop, it's still up 27% year to date. And we've said, remember when we talk about it's 21 days.
Yeah,
21 days. We're talking about a 27% rise in the commodity price itself, in palladium price in dollar terms. So I mean, I don't know. Be very careful when you sort of lured into saying, oh, this is a pullback. This is a great time to be buying into the target price of $3,000.
Yeah.
Okay, so Goldman Sachs and the BBC.com have given the death knell to palladium. Let's have a look at the spot prices and create a backdrop to what we're going to say in the next few minutes. The dollar rand is 14.49, was 14.60 this morning. The British pound against the rand is 18.92, and the euro rand is 16.08 with the euro dollar 111.02. So the dollar slightly weaker. I don't know why that is, but these are minuscule moves in that particular exchange rate. It's been very quiet. The Dow Jones at the moment is down 0.2%. It was down 100 points, predicted to be down 100 points in the futures market. The S&P is down a quarter, NASDAQ down very slightly, and everything else is red. The Far East this morning because of the virus story, and also the downgrade in the Hong Kong bond market.
Hong Kong.
Yeah. So the Hang Seng was down 2.8%. That was the big mover of the day. Commodities, gold price is 1552, down 8. It's being dragged down by the precious metals. Platinum, 993, down 25. Have you got the live palladium price there, Skulk?
Yeah, 2336. That's down $78.
Yeah, so it's below 2.4,
Yes, correct. So we're looking at a commodity price that's down. Well, when I look at it now I'm seeing it trading a lot. We're looking at a share price that's now down 4%. Commodity price is down 4%. So, under pressure.
So as the U.S. has opened and gathers momentum, so those prices are coming down further.
But what is interesting, David, I mean, with these negativity, you know, we're looking now at S&P 500 that is now losing traction. It's now down 0.33%. But even with all these, let's call it negativity, you know, the safe haven gold is not reacted yet. That is also down, not a lot. I mean, we're talking about 40 basis points, but, you know, your sort of fear factor move, I mean, that's not reflecting the fear yet, so.
Let's have a look at South Africa now, another move. And this is something that's been going on for a long time. I was speaking to Davi Root last night, who has hated SAA for probably a decade, ever since I've been speaking to him. And he keeps on saying, don't bail it out, don't bail it out. We're now getting a situation where flights to Munich have been cancelled, domestic flights have been cancelled. And the only way I can interpret this as a layman is they can't pay their fuel bills and their credit line has run out, so they can't take off. They can't pay their landing fees in Munich because the Germans are going to say, you owe us X million dollars for landing fees. So unless you pay, you can't land here. The staff are not turning up because they're not being paid, or just simply they can't. They haven't met their very stringent mechanical standards, and they haven't been able to maintain their planes because they're not paying the staff. There's something going on. I would say, David Shapiro, that this airline is on the brink of collapse.
It's close to that. And what worries me more is that the government hasn't come to the rescue. You know, they promised 2 billion. The fact that they can't get it and they're struggling to get it is also, for me, a very, very ominous sign. And I don't know what it points to. You know, the fact that they allowed it to go into business rescue and they agreed to give the money, I can only assume that they haven't paid their bills. And if they've paid the 2 billion and the banks have paid 2 billion and that money's been paid and they still cancelling flights or postponing flights, then it's certainly the death knell. But I think it's on the cards. I think the one thing you don't do now is just book SAA. I don't want to create problems, but I mean, they're deep, deep rooted problems countrywide. I see it beyond SAA. And I'm very perturbed that the government hasn't made it a crisis, you know, or not taken as a crisis and getting hold of that 2 billion. So obviously they seem to be quite happy to let it go.
Yeah, they really do. It's a sad situation because I have to say that when I flew to South Africa for the first time in 1988, February the 5th, I was on SAA and I had my first Castle beer and the staff were great. The airline was clean and efficient. It took off on time and everything was great. But they've always maintained a pretty good standard within the cabin and in the cockpit. But elsewhere, it's been a complete disaster. So I'm sad about SAA if it does go under. Hopefully, Qatar Airways or Emirates or Lufthansa or somebody will come in, or Virgin, and take a stake. What do you think? Do you think someone will take this? Because it's got an aging fleet, but it's got an incredible distribution network.
I do think that well, we know now that there's been interest. I mean, so I don't think that there'll be a lack of interest. It is a prime destination still. Numerous tourist sites. It's been voted one of the top destinations. So I doubt that there'll be a problem. Let's call it selling those routes or selling those. So I think that's the bottom line. Asking if SAA will eventually make it, I don't know. I think that's a very. I do tend to agree with David Shapiro currently. I mean, it's they're in deep trouble. Deep trouble. I think they've got 11 planes up for sale as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and the engines.
Yes, they mentioned last week something like they're either selling or giving up. But the bottom line is that they've got plans up for adoption as well. And, you know, just to get back to you, that might be a reason why they also cancel some of the flights. Because if you know you're going to get rid of 11 planes, I mean, the last thing you want to do is put some more mileage on them. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it's a very difficult situation to be in. But I mean, Tito Mboweni has made it clear. I mean, these SOEs need to be driven or be run profitable. And if it can't, it needs to go through the same process than any other company. I mean, that bottom line.
Okay, let's have a look at the JSE today, because the JSE's all-share index is down around about 1.5%. That'll be confirmed by Skalk at the end of this conversation. But it shows you how much the upside was due to the resources stocks and how much the downside today is all to do with resources stocks. Because if you have a look at the top five major downers on the JSE today, Anglo American Platinum, 9.3% weaker, Impala Platinum, 8.5% down, Northern Platinum, 8.5% down, Sibanye, the gold and PG GM producer, down nearly 5%, and Royal Bafokeng down 4.5%. These are really, really big moves, and it almost smacks David Shapiro of those people that had the fear of missing out in the last 10-15%. Now people are dumping, and there's going to be there's going to be some panic selling here because of margin calls and that sort of thing, CFDs and so forth.
Well, it's not out of line with commodities. If ever you've followed commodity shares, this is really typical of the way that they do respond. And that's what makes them so dangerous and so volatile and difficult to read. And that's why you tend to keep away from them. They have these incredible runs. They run up fast. You make lots of money. But, boy, when it turns around, there's no stopping it. And it feeds on itself. And I think that palladium price, I think we watch carefully the fact that it went up to 2,500 plus, and Skalk has told us now it's falling below 24. You know, once the sellers start, they can take this down to wherever, 1,500 or wherever thereabouts, you know, whence it's come. But you're going to see shares coming down. And Lindsay, you correctly pointed out that this has been the driver behind our market. You know, it's been global markets, which have given the ABM BEVs and companies like that a little bit of a lift. But largely, it's been the gold and platinum sector, which in 2019 just gave, you know, spectacular returns. It can unwind. You know, it can do it.
Yeah, well, remember, that's the thing that I think you alluded to earlier, and I think that's where a lot of investors don't get, let's call it, educated before they enter investment like this, you know, enough. Because remember we had this chat 2 weeks ago when we talked about Impala Platinum up for 2019, 290%, close to 300%. You know, Anglo-American Platinum up close to 200%. You know, when a company or when any investment can grow that type of, you know, show that type of growth over such a short period of time, you always need to ask yourself, firstly, why? So we all know that these commodities came out of, let's call it, the value territory, low demand, and suddenly that it overreacted. But when something can grow that quickly in that short period of time, it can drop that quickly and in such a short period of time. So we saw similar, you know, over the past few years, we've seen a few times. We saw, let's call it, close to 10 years ago, that in the Brent price, when the Brent price went, similar scenario in some of these oil companies. We saw it in this thing called Bitcoin. Remember, everybody just said, wow, Bitcoin, this is going to $100,000, you know, per Bitcoin. And we all know what the after effect was. Again, 9% in Amplats, 9.3% in Amplats, you know, close to 9% in Implats. I mean, that just shows you this is the and be very careful getting into it now, saying, well, it's taken a 9% pullback. Now it must be the time to buy. Because remember, tomorrow it can give another 9%. It can take another 9%.
Well, this is what I want to ask you now. We don't want to focus on this too much, but I have to ask both of you this question, and I won't keep you long because I know you've got to get off to different places before we get to the movers on the JSE to the upside and also the closing indices. But David Shapiro, a client phoned you a couple of days ago and said, I want to buy Impala Platinum because I've seen a story on the front of the newspaper about palladium going up. And so you buy him, at his instigation, you buy him Impala Platinum at 152 Rand per share. It's now down at 145, so it's fallen 8%. He phones you up and say, what should I do now? Why is it going down? What do you say to him, apart from it was your decision?
Yeah, I wouldn't have allowed him to buy it in the first place, especially after the kind of run.
Yeah.
You know, it's just... it's crazy. I'm not taking anything away from the gains that we've seen in the palladium price and also the profits that the mines are going to make. But the share prices have run way, way ahead of where their longer-term profits are going to be. So you're so far out of sync that there's bound to be this correction. I don't want to wish it on the market. I really don't. You know what I mean? I don't like to see shares fall. I don't like to see people get squeezed or in trouble like that. But, I mean, where you get these kind of movements, you know it's going to happen. And I think the only bubble that we have seen, you know, in markets, and I'm going to go in global markets, the palladium price has been probably one of the maybe Tesla. I'm going to add Tesla in that one as well. Yeah. But I think palladium is really a kind of market that's extremely dangerous, very, very difficult to read. So I wouldn't have been, you know, I hope Impala can pull out of it. I hope Northam. I hope it doesn't affect issues there. But for shareholders, this is, you know, this is just the way that markets move.
Yeah, yeah, I think to add to that, I mean, to ask the question, I mean, I would, you know, there's been quite a few fund managers, prominent fund managers that came out that did extremely well in some of these PGM shares. That has now recently come out and said, well, we're not negative, or we just say that at current levels, it's done a lot, and we're cutting some of our positions.
Not some. Now, there's one particularly prominent one that I spoke to, and he, when I spoke to him, he said he had a certain target price on Impala Platinum. He was very diligent and got out of 95% of the strategy or the fund's position, and that was maybe a couple of months ago. So the big boys, I think, are out of these PGM stocks now.
Could be.
Yeah, I still think be careful. If some of the big boys are getting out, that will be the time where you need to ask yourself the questions, why am I going to get in?
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Go on, David.
Remember, Lindsay, they are part of the MSCI World Index now, or the Emerging Market Index, and that does create a lot of interest or volume in trade, but it doesn't mean that it only goes up. If I'm not a chartist, but if I'm just looking at the 200-day moving average now on Impala, and I might be out a few places, but the 200 moving day average is around about 90, you know. So, and I think your 50-day, what is it? I don't know what this is. Yeah, 50-day moving average is around about 130. So, you know, if you believe in the reversion to the mean or if it comes back there, you've still got quite a way of, you know, quite big movements to take place just to stabilize it. So, you know, I can see this happening, but anyway,
it's important to note that the story on platinum or palladium is still there. We're still talking about the growth of electric cars, which is going to hurt combustion engines, etc. I totally buy into that story, but you need to ask yourself, you mean, this is a commodity that came from $500 literally 3-4 years ago and is trading, you know, at the current level. So we're bound to see some profit taking, and this is what we're seeing now. So be careful to catch a falling knife.
Yeah.
Okay, let's have a look at what knives didn't fall but went in the other direction today on the upside in the JSE. It's pretty few, actually. I mean, there's really not much going on. I mean, these are good companies, Transaction Capital, Investec Property Fund, Mass, Spar, Absa Group, but 2.2%, the best one, 0.9%, the fifth. So it's been a down day across the board. Anything there, Skalk, or are these just rats and mice, with due respect
to
them?
You actually mentioned, you know, one or two of them. Mm. But I want to use the theme. I don't want to use, because when you look at a company like Standard Bank, I mean, we're talking about a market that's down 1.5% today, but Standard Bank is down up. And at 43 basis points, you mentioned Absa Bank. So that was something that stood out for me over the, you know, past 2 days. And I think we've got the answers, you know, to a certain extent today. Because remember, a big thing happened on Thursday. We call that interest rate cuts. And by the way, I still owe you beer, Lindsay.
Yeah, you owe me a case of beers, actually. I'll give you the address to deliver them to, Skalk. I have to say that you're the first person I've ever beaten in a bet on air, so you've got that.
And just for all the listeners out there,
yeah, go on.
You know, I think you can go and listen to that podcast. I immediately say I also see a interest rate cut, but naturally, you know, I will take the bet because, you know, if I'm right, I'm going to get wine. If I'm wrong, I'm going to be able to afford beer. So I think important to note, Lindsay, after that interest rate cut, I mean, we did not see an improvement in banks. Mm. I mean, banks reacted negatively after that with the market. We also saw another thing, property stocks. Property stocks remained under pressure, and to a certain extent still today still remained under pressure. So you know, that's an area where when you look at a company like called Growthpoint. Growthpoint, biggest property stocks on the JSE, currently yielding, you know, historically yielding over 10%. Redefined, second biggest, yielding close to 13%. I mean, that, in my view, is the area where I would slowly but surely starting to focus, because we've already saw the interest rate hike. To go and find, because banks, similar story. You know, banks, usually when interest rates come down, those are the areas which actually find the environment a lot more conducive.
David,
Scott,
do you agree?
I'm a bit nervous. You know what? I'm very skeptical on the South African economy, and I've repeated this a number of times, Lindsay, in talking to you.
Yes.
I think that companies have held out for a long time, and I get the view, as we're seeing with SAA, they eventually capitulate. You know, eventually it's just too much. And what I'm worried about, if you look at the IMF's outside in a view on South Africa, downgrading 2019 to 0.4%. They don't see us growing beyond 0.8%. And for the next 2 years, call it 1%. 1% is neither here nor there. We're talking decimal points. And my concerns with property and with retailers and with all other manufacturers here, it's very, very difficult to turn a business around and to prosper in an environment that's hardly growing, you know, that's growing at 1%. We're not a rich economy. We're a poverty-stricken economy. So I'm concerned that a lot of the property companies, I think the troubles are only going to start coming through this year. They've held up pretty well, you know, held up pretty well as leases have continued to run. But as soon as they come up for renewal and as soon as and in some cases, they might not renew at all. They might go bung, you know, as we're seeing in some of the retailers. I just get a concern that things are going to get tougher before they get better. And I'm in no mood to spend cash in, you know, to invest this. I'd just like to see it run. When it does turn and things start to look better, I'll give up my 13% for 12% or 11%, you know, which is still attractive. But I'm really concerned that the underlying businesses are taking a lot more strain than we care to admit.
That is all threats. And I'm not moving aside and say it's nothing, because it is something big. Yeah. But you know, last time, you know, I had a similar story. It was 2003. I keep on moving back to 2003, because that was a time where I remember one of my good friends, also an investor, and it was part of the bank. He came and said, "I want to invest. And I want to invest all my money in property stocks." And I said, "Why do you want to do that? Look at the vacancies. Look at the vacancies, how it went up. Look at the environment we're currently finding ourselves in. Wars. We just came out of an environment where 3 years ago, where interest rate went up to 25.5%. Why do you want to do that?" And he says, "Skulk, you know what? Property stocks is now, the yields has now gone up so much, or AKA that the share price has come down so much. I can go and borrow money, and the yields are 2-4% higher than prime rate. So the more I borrow, the more I make. And yes, I do agree with you. There will be the most probably be either higher vacancies, or the yields will be under pressure when it comes up for renegotiation." Which, funny enough, didn't happen in a subsequently after 2003, but we all know what the after effect was. And he said, if I have to lose 10 or 20% of that yield, I'm still yielding prime rate, which is still way better what I can get, firstly, in cash. And we all know now, what we've seen last Thursday, and the message that we got from the SARB is telling us we might see another interest rate decrease. So would it decap from something like the long bond rates? I don't think so. So if you've got the view that local bonds are looking attractive and could come down in terms of yields after, let's call it, we've got certainty around, you know, firstly, either when are we going to be downgraded to junk, or what is the effect? I do believe when that happens, you know, these yields, these, let's call it 10, 11, 12, and 13% in Redefine's case, it's starting to look attractive.
Okay, gentlemen, we've spoken about that, and there's a good cases to be made for either being in or not being in the property sector and also South African stocks, if I can sort of extrapolate those views. Skalk, give us the closing JSE indices on this rather damp day.
Yeah, I don't want it.
And the value traded, please.
So, let's do that. Okay, we started off JSE today, closing stores 1.49% down. I think the biggest dropper is, surprise, surprise, a resource index down 2.49%. We look at the industrial index down 1.44%. And financials, as we spoken earlier, financials holding up quite nice. It's only down 0.22%. When we look at the value trading, that's an interesting part. Again, below the 20 billion, it's we saw most of the trade when we, let's call it 10 to 5, quarter to five. I looked at it and we were trading, daily trade was traded standing at 12 billion for the day. We've now ended the day over 17 billion for the day, which is still below the 20 billion mark, which I want to see, but a hell of a lot better. So most of the trades actually happened in the final 15 minutes of today.
Okay, gentlemen, one of the keynote speakers today at Davos was that young 16-year-old Swedish girl who has Asperger's and has quite honestly come under some unnecessary attack by certain people and has been snubbed by Donald Trump. But young people are the future and they have made a difference. And if you go back to Davos in 2018, the Pakistani girl, Malala, who was attacked so brutally by the Taliban because she went to school, she said back in 2018 at Davos, funnily enough, often we think that you have to be a prime minister or a president or a CEO to be a change maker. No, you don't. You can bring change at any point, at any age you want. So change is possible, and do not limit yourself. Do not stop yourself just because you are young. I don't know what you think about these young people and whether they're just grandstanders, but I think they're genuine. David, the last word from you.
I agree. Sometimes kids can be irritating and annoying, but you can't ignore what she's saying. And I think although her words might not be mature and she might not have substantiated them and have the kind of scientific research behind the claim she's making, but all she's doing is saying to people, she's saying to companies, she's saying to prime ministers and presidents, just behave yourself. You know, it's going to be a big subject. Just look after the environment, look after our future, and that's really the message. So credit to her and credit to young people of her age who are interested in climate and who are trying to change the world. I think it's a big subject, and I think it's going to be more and more important. You dare not ignore it. You ignore it at your peril.
Quite right. David, thank you very much for your analysis this evening and your extended time. David Shapiro is Deputy Chairman of Sasfin Securities in Johannesburg, and he was joined from Belleville in Cape Town. The portfolio I love Belleville. Skalk Low, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.